Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth. The rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking, despite those who may or may not like that fact. But welcome to Conversations with David Icke, and I'm so happy to have David back on the show. I posted a copy of myself with his book on social media, and I said, don't be jealous. And so many of you told me you were jealous. The book will be available February 1st, so make sure you get a copy. The book is called Phantom Self and How to Find the Real One. So let me say good morning to David. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Maria. We've had a few printed in a quick print ahead of the official launch. So there are some available through davidicke.com now. But you're right. It won't be in the shops and circulating properly until February.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, my granddaughter was visiting this weekend, and she picked up the book and she started flipping through it. And I bet nobody else has said this to you. She says, Grandma, she says, this is great. He has so many memes in the book.
Yeah, and there's 702 images in the 400 and odd pages. Because what I've done is put the detail in the text and then try to encapsulate the thought, encapsulate the... what's being said in a picture and a few words. And I think, it can be read on many levels because I wrote the book for many reasons, but one was that it's become clearer and clearer to me, from my personal experience anyway, that more and more people are asking questions and questioning reality, questioning world events, who are absolutely new to this. And I wanted to write the book on two levels. One, for people who've read my other books, because it does take it considerably on forward. And if it doesn't, what have I been doing? Because, you've got to keep pushing the cutting edge, because the cutting edge is always asking to be moved. But on another level, I wanted to write something that someone who knows nothing could pick up and read and immediately comprehend what's being said. Because I'm going out on this world tour, speaking tour, starting in the summer in Australia. I've got my visa through after waiting for months and months and months of delay. And I'm coming to America, to New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco in the fall, in September, October, because I just absolutely have this urge, this drive to really give it everything I've got in the next few years, because these are the key years, 2016, 17, 18, which will decide the way this world goes, because we are at a point where, and there's a chapter in the book called Transphantomism, which is a word I made up, but people will see when they read it immediately what it means. That is probably the most important chapter I've ever written in my life, because it's really deep, deep, deep in the rabbit hole. And it's to do, obviously, with transhumanism and what the real agenda is and what's happening around us with relation to that. And, if we don't start turning this back and start, first of all, slowing it down and exposing it so people can see what's actually happening around us as opposed to what we're told, then by 2018, 2019, this roller coaster, or this steamroller, a better description, will be moving so fast and be having such an effect on people's perceptions that it will be increasingly difficult to turn it around. And turn it around, because what is turning it around? It's quite simple. It's having people change their perception of the world. So instead of accepting and absorbing, and as people will see in the book, literally downloading a perception of reality about everything from the system, they start to filter the world through awareness that is beyond the system, which is beyond what we call mind-body, into levels of awareness that are not subject to the programs that humans are subject to. And when you you reach that expansion of awareness, suddenly you are on one level of your self, you are looking into this world from outside. It's not that you have this visionary point where you suddenly find yourself out of body and looking into the world literally, but your perceptions are coming, your filtering is coming from levels of your awareness that is beyond the program. And as a result of that, you are perceiving the world and everything around you differently, because you're coming, you're literally looking at it from a different point of observation. And when you do that, the world becomes an open book. If you don't do that, the world is a random, apparently random series of events, often chaotic, that appear to have no connection and no rhyme or reason often. So the whole idea of turning it around is literally the difference between people getting their perceptions from the program and getting their perceptions from levels of awareness beyond the program. And what the whole system and transhumanism, of course, putting technology inside the body, which is just connecting, if you like, mechanical technology and electrical technology to biological technology, that is designed to block our ability to access those higher levels of awareness. So people become entrapped in the five senses, where they are given information to mold and manipulate their perceptions without any other filter, without any other means of seeing the world from another point of view. All they'll see on the transhumanist agenda is what is fed to them. Once you get technology inside the body, especially relating to thought, then you're no longer thinking freely. You are apparently thinking freely while actually just decoding information that's being fed to you, like a computer terminal on the internet. Because of what I call phantom self, which is the downloaded sense of identity, which is based on your sex, your race, your religion, your life story, all these, your name, your school, where you came from, what you've done, all these things come together to give us a sense of identity. And that's what I call phantom self, and there's many other levels to phantom self, which I explain. Most of it's in the subconscious. And the phantom self self-identifies basically with the five senses and with the world it sees around it. But of course, that's a fraction of who we really are, and is not a self. It is an experience. It's the experience of our infinite self. And what the system has done, and it does it systematically, because if you go deep enough into the shadows, into the rabbit hole. You meet those that are understand how reality works and thus how to manipulate it. They have systematically got people to confuse what we're experiencing with what we are. And once you do that, once you say, I am David Icke, born in Leicester, England in 1952, and I've done this and I've done that, and this is who I am, then you're immediately accepting limitation.
Don't you think?
You're accepting that you are basically have little power, and that you are subject to the random happenings of life, which are dictating your choices, they're dictating your direction, they're dictating your life. And that's where the system wants us. It wants us in that state of, if you like, disempowerment, where we think we don't really have power, and looking to people in authority where we perceive the power really lies. But when you start to break through the program, break through the matrix of downloaded perceptions, then you realize that actually we are a point of awareness within infinite awareness, and thus we are potentially able to access all possibility, all knowledge, all inspiration, all knowingness. And the difference between people that can see it and people that are stuck in the program is simply how much of their infinite awareness they're actually accessing. Absolutely. And if they're in the program to the point where the five senses are pretty much all they can perceive or appreciate in terms of existence, then they are operating on an awareness the size of a pea comparatively. But if we can break through that and break through mind and go beyond mind and beyond the downloaded perceptions, then you can access levels of awareness, levels of knowledge, of knowingness that are, you know, staggering. And, you know, again, the evidence is all around us. When ever a near-death experience occurs, you will have people saying that when they left the body, they suddenly had this massive expanded awareness where they can see past, present, and future in the same now, where they had multiple perceptions of multiple realities simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is their point of attention has left the body, which focuses that attention on a tiny, tiny range of frequencies we call visible light, which is all we can decode into a world that we think we see and live in. And when they leave the body, that limitation, that focus of attention, that looking at this reality basically through the eyes of the computer, the biological computer, as I call it, the body, they're released from that. And suddenly that focus of attention suddenly massively expands because it's no longer being concentrated and focused. I came across a lovely quote from a near-death experiencer who likened being in the body to a torchlight in a warehouse, in a dark warehouse. And the torchlight could only see what it was pointing at. And, you know, the torchlight is very, very applicable, really, very symbolic, because it's very symbolic of visible light. And what she said was when she left the body, and during this near-death experience, suddenly someone switched the lights on in the entire warehouse, and she could see it all. And that's a wonderful analogy, I think, for being confined and limited in phantom self, the experience, as opposed to being freed from phantom self and expanding into real self. That really is the crux of the conspiracy. You know, you can talk about anything, and I do, from 9/11 to banking scams to all of it. But the bottom line, the foundation, is to disconnect our sense of self, our sense of awareness, from infinite self to phantom self, the one that we perceive to be self when we're in this world.
Right. Well, you know, the way I like to explain it, you know, it's interesting, David, because I had your book out for the past few days, because every minute I get, I'm flipping through the book, and I had this young couple visit me this weekend, and he's an ex-Marine, and he saw the book, and he wanted me to explain it to him. And I said, look, I haven't finished the book, but the way that I describe what you're calling the phantom self is I call it your avatar, because young people are into all these computer games, these virtual realities, Xbox, mm-hmm. this and that. I said the way you design your avatar to play that game is basically how you've designed the physical avatar you're in playing this game here, but none of it's real. And they seem to understand that very easily. And of course, you talk about the movie Avatar in the book. And, you know, which I thought was an excellent film, but I don't think it got the attention it should have.
It was a great analogy for so much that's going on in the world, really.
I totally agree. So when you kick off this book with saying that you have to, let me see how you word it. You say the most effective starting point for pursuing the mysteries of life is take everything you've ever been told and simply flip it. Because we do live in a backwards world. We have Orwellian speak all the time. I tell my listeners that all the time. When the police say we're going to do an investigation, investigation means cover up. You know, you have to understand the language. So if everybody can flip what they think to be true, they might actually get closer to the real truth.
It is extraordinary, as I've observed the world over many, many years, to see it doesn't happen every time, but it happens the vast, vast majority of the time. If you take accepted truth and flip it and invert it, so you're looking at the opposite of accepted truth, that's where the truth normally is. And it's extraordinary. But, you know, as I explained in the book, the world is inverted for a reason. It's been systematically inverted. Everything is upside down. And what you were saying there about the computer game, of course, I go into in the book that we live in a not just a virtual reality, but a simulation. I'm at the moment working through the entire series of Discovery Channel series. I think it's fronted by Morgan Freeman, called Through the Wormhole, which is basically looking at different aspects of mainstream science, trying to work reality out. And, you know, I've spent much of it shaking my head, really, because they're looking at a duck, and it's got a beak, and it's got, flipper feet, and it waddles, and it quacks, and they're walking around it saying, could this be a duck? Do you think it could be a duck? I mean, the reality that I describe in the book is in their face, and they're talking about different aspects of it. And I'm sitting there thinking, put it together.
Right.
You've got the pieces, put it together. There was one... one of the programs was about, is reality real? And it was talking about, and just one part of it was talking about the fact, could this be a simulation? And when you look at the physics of computer games, and you look at the physics of the world that we think is real, they're basically the same. You know, there's a scientist, physicist, mathematician at MIT called Max Tegmark, and he has explored mathematically the almost mirror situation between computer games and our reality, the physics of our reality, the mathematics of our reality. Mm-hmm. And he points out that it's the same thing, and that, you know, when we move our arm, the physics are the same as a character in a simulation moving their arm. And then, of course, once you start to see, and once you go down the road of opening your mind to the fact that this could be a simulation, suddenly all the great mysteries start disappearing.
Right.
Because suddenly it all makes sense. Why does that happen? How could that happen? When you come from this perspective, you can explain it ever so simple, because of this, because of that. And then, of course, the question comes, if we live in a simulation, which I have no doubt anymore that we do, then who's behind the simulation? What's behind the simulation? And that's when you go deeper in the rabbit hole to get to that. But it does make sense of the world. And, of course, if your awareness, your point of attention, comes into this world and interacts with it through what I would say is a biological computer, the body, the biological computer is not a inert, dead entity. It has awareness. It too has awareness. Look at the immune system. The immune system is making decisions all the time based on what it thinks it needs to do to protect the body from attack. And we're not sitting here telling the immune system what to do. It's deciding how it responds and reacts. The body has an awareness. And the vehicle has an awareness. Everything is aware. Everything has an awareness to some point. And so if you move your point of attention into the body without retaining a connection to your greater awareness, then it is possible, I have no doubt at all about this, it is possible to go through an entire lifetime without a single original thought or emotional response. They're all coming from body-mind. They're all coming from the biological computer. And if you you think of sometimes a computer virus will take over a computer, well, what happens? You're sitting there with the keyboard and the mouse, and the computer's doing what it likes. It's making decisions to do this, to do that, to go there, and this is what the body can do if you don't hold that connection to expanded awareness, where you can impose your power upon this and your awareness upon the situation. So what is happening with the system is that we are being programmed from cradle to grave. The biological computer and five sense awareness is being programmed from cradle to grave with a downloaded sense of reality. And if our true self, our infinite eternal awareness, does not impose itself upon that program, upon that download, then the download will dictate our lives and it will make our decisions, and we'll think that we're making them when we're not. You've got the brain, which is not the seat of consciousness. It's a processor of information. So the brain can process information from the program, and in most people it certainly does. Or it can process information from your greater awareness and respond and decode reality in a completely different way. So this is the difference between free thought and free expression and repeating the program. And when you I go into this in the book in some detail. When you follow the process of life, You are born into this world. Your parents, who have been through the process I'm about to describe, have downloaded system reality overwhelmingly, and they will pass on system reality to you as real and as how things are from the moment you become able to converse. And then increasingly now a shorter and shorter period, you're straight into the school system, and within 3 years, not much more, of entering this reality, you are sitting in a classroom with an authority figure telling you what to think, what not to think, what's right, what's not right, what you can do, what you can't do, when you can go to the toilet, when you can't, when you must be there, when you can leave. And it's a prison. That the school is a prison for children. And you go through this system then, most of your waking time, if you take it over a year, is spent in that situation. And they get you to like your mid-teens or later now, as you go on to college and university. And what the system is doing is downloading you or uploading to you the system's version of reality, which suits the system. And of course, if you are someone who's not downloaded the system's reality, not completely anyway, and you start to question things, well, the system's straight on you.
Oh, yeah.
And you start to realize through school, etc., mm-hmm. that if you question and challenge, then, you know, there's a consequence for that. And if you just absorb and accept, then you're left alone. And then you've got peer pressure because your peers have been through the same and are going through the same system. They're downloading the same things, so they're telling you the same things. And they're confirming to you the same things. And if you challenge them, they, the sheep, will police the other sheep or people trying not to be sheep who are questioning what they've accepted. And then, of course, at the end of this, you go to university. And out from that university, invariably, come the journalists, the scientists, the doctors, the politicians, the CEOs, often. And what you have is that prime programming, that prime perception programming, which forms and molds what I call phantom self.
Right.
Now you can have a phantom self that's very rich. You can have a phantom self that's very poor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That matters nothing to phantom self. Phantom self is what you believe you are in terms of name, situation, life story, race, religion, whatever.
Exactly.
And you can be a poor phantom self. You can be a rich phantom self. You can be a right-wing phantom self. You can be a left-wing phantom self. You can be a mainstream phantom self. You can be an alternative phantom self. But you're still a phantom self if you are self-identifying who you are with these labels, what I call label consciousness in the book.
Right.
And so that from that prime programming, the doctors go out, the scientists go out, the journalists go out, the politicians go out. Mm-hmm. And so you have the people that are running society and are dictating the perceptions of society. What a scientist said this, or a doctor said that, or etc. They all have this prime programming, which they all basically agree on because they've all got the same program.
Right.
So I remember there was a lady in Britain a couple of years ago who was challenging the state in terms of her young boy's treatment with chemotherapy for cancer. It was causing him a lot of problems, a lot of health problems, a lot of distress. Now, the father wanted the chemotherapy to continue. She did not. So they went to court. And when I saw it was going to court, I said to people immediately, there's only one way that's going to end up.
Right.
And it did. The chemotherapy was going to continue. Why? Because the judge was representing the state. The lawyer of the father and the doctors giving the case for chemotherapy continuing were representatives of the state. The doctor giving their evidence were representatives of the state. The father was supporting the representatives of the state. And against them was the mother who was challenging the state. There's only one way. And for every time I've said state there, I could have said system. And there's only one way that's going to end up, and that's that the representatives of the state system are going to support representatives of the state system, which is exactly what happened. And this happens all the time. And so what you have in a television news bulletin, for instance, is a newsreader who's invariably come through exactly the same process I've just described, who is introducing stories about what's going on in the world, which are the reports are given by people who've been through this system. And the people they invariably talk to have also been through this system. So if there's something to do with reality or whatever, they'll talk to a scientist. If there's something to do with medicine, they'll talk to a doctor. And so it goes on. And others that would challenge that are excluded from that process. Now, they're excluded for two reasons. From deep in the shadows, they're excluded on purpose because a lie doesn't want truth to be to challenge it. That's why the people who are trying to tell the truth about what's going on in the world are excluded and marginalized and attacked. But beyond the shadows, in the reality that we see, the producers, the editors, the newsreaders, the journalists have all come through this system that I've described, the same system that scientists and the doctors and the politicians have come through, and thus other people challenging those people and their version of reality are excluded by others that are not knowingly part of the conspiracy, producers, editors, journalists, etc., because they think that anyone who challenges those norms that they've downloaded through their lives up to that point must be crazy and is not worth talking to. So this is how the system works. This is how it sells the lie, and this is how it excludes the truth.
Right. Well, it's kind of like I like to look at it as assembly line programming. It's like we're all robots being pushed off an assembly line. Whether you're a doctor, a teacher, a nurse, a lawyer, it doesn't matter. You're already programmed to be basically a robot, but you think that you actually believe and that this is really the truth and the only way out. David, you and I have to take a short break, but when we get back, I want to talk about the people that are not coming off the assembly line. So stay with us, David, and I'll be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience, and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at maria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm speaking with David Icke. If you're not familiar with David, get over to his website, davidicke.com. There's a live link here. We're talking about his latest book, Phantom Self, and How to Find the Real One. David, we talk so much about the programs here and how we basically are trapped unless we can snap out of this reality. And then as one of the very few authors out there, you get into actually giving credibility to people like myself, because I've been called crazy my whole life, because I've lived my life by intuition since I had a near-death experience at 4 years old. People that actually can see through the matrix, people that actually can expand past the torchlight in the garage. and how we are marginalized. And you do admit, as I do too, that there's a lot of people out there that aren't credible. But there are also a lot of people out there that are what is called gifted. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's a curse. But for me, you know, after my near-death experience when I was four, and we're talking about 1955, I came to and saw the whole world without a filter, and I was just a little girl. And I was so surprised because my first remembrance was, this isn't how we're supposed to be living. It's like I looked around and I felt like the star of that movie, They Live. And everything was so in my face that it took quite a while for me to try to fit in where I wouldn't be locked up in a mental institution.
Well, this is the thing, that because the world is inverted, and that so many things come from that, it means that the truth is a lie, and the lie is the truth. And because it's inverted, it's an inversion of balance, it's an inversion of intelligence, and it's an inversion of a true awareness, certainly an inversion of what we call love. And thus it's mad. It's a madhouse. It's completely bonkers. I mean, the world is mad. And, you know, once you, the waters break and you start to look at the world from beyond the world, then its madness is so blatant, it's laughable. So if you go into a madhouse and everyone in the madhouse has only known the madhouse, they've grown up in it, they've spent their lives in it, and they've never been beyond its walls, then everyone there is agreed that madness is normal. What's that great line? An idiot is a genius to another idiot.
Right.
And so when you walk into the madhouse from outside and you've seen that it's a madhouse and you've seen beyond it, then to those in the madhouse, you are mad. This is the aversion again. So if you, I mean, it's you can see it all the time now. They're giving things psychological names, like when you challenge authority, brackets the madhouse, you are suffering from oppositional defiant disorder, which is some kind of psychological problem. If you want to eat clean, healthy, organic, non-polluted food, then you are suffering from some kind of psychological problem, because in the madhouse, the sane thing to do is to eat food that's covered in pesticides and has been genetically modified to genetically modify you. In the madhouse, the sane thing is to believe the government, because it's the government. And so everything's on its head. And so when you you break through and you start to see it, just imagine, you know, walking around a madhouse, and the madness is normal, and you're seen as crazy. I mean, a wonderful example of that. You know, 25 years, 26 years coming up of the constant ridicule for being crazy, but because I'm challenging the madhouse.
Right.
People need to be strong, and they need to be in another state of self-awareness, because if you still, although you can see it on some levels, you still self-identify with name, race, life story, background, history, family background, all the rest of it. If you still identify with phantom self, the experience, then it's very difficult. Because you are in the world that you are being ridiculed and marginalized within. But if you re-identify yourself and re-self-identify yourself as infinite awareness having an experience, then you are starting from the perspective that it's not you, you are infinite awareness having that experience. And thus, what is thrown at you at the level of body-mind, at the level of phantom self, the level of the five senses, it does not have the same impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not self-identifying with it.
Right.
And you know, I've taken untold abuse, historic abuse in Britain.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Historic levels of ridicule and abuse. And it just passes through me because I'm not in the world that it is where it's being thrown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and therefore it has no effect. I don't care. And it's this re-self-identification with who we are that is the key to withdrawing from the matrix and withdrawing from the effect of the matrix and those connected to the matrix upon your life and upon you. It's the foundation of everything. Because it doesn't matter how alternative you may think, it doesn't matter how differently you may think, if you hold that self-identity that is really just your experience, then you are in the world that you are being abused in, that you're being marginalized in. And that means it's going to be very difficult. Because you're still going to be hurt, you're still going to be fearful, you're still going to be affected. But when you move that point of self-identity, what you're doing is you're moving that your point of frequency, you're moving that point where of energetic interaction with the matrix, and thus the impact upon you is massively diluted. It doesn't mean you don't get pulled in now and again.
Of course.
You do.
Right.
But you're immediately aware that you've been pulled in and you can pull out again. Most of the alternative media, not all of it, most of it, is still in phantom self. It is self-identifying with mainstream science or religion. It's self-identifying with name, life story, all the things I'm talking about. And therefore, it's still phantom self. It's phantom self in greater awareness than someone is not aware that there's a conspiracy going on, but it's still in phantom self. And, you know, phantom self of one persuasion, of one perception, is facing trying to make a difference in a world where the vast overwhelming number of phantom selves do not see there's a conspiracy, do not see that there's a problem in the way that they need to see it. And thus, if you stay in that realm of phantom self, if you like, against phantom self, interacting with phantom self, then you're going to be overwhelmed by phantom selves of a different persuasion and different perception.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can move your self-identity, not just intellectually, but live it as if you are infinite awareness having that experience,
mm-hmm.
you are no longer phantom self interacting with phantom self. As phantom selves, you are infinite awareness interacting with the phantom world. And so you're not only coming from a different frequency, you have all the power of expanded awareness to make a difference, which when you're in phantom self mode, by the very definition that you are not accessing those levels of expanded awareness that can give you that power to make a difference.
Absolutely. You know, your chapter, Paranormal is Normal, kind of reminded me, you know, years ago when I studied with Sun Bear, an Ojibwa, you know, Indian, he said that people call what he did, because he was a rainmaker, that was his gift. And people used to say that what he did was supernatural, but he says, no, so it was very natural, just we just programmed to believe we can't interact with the elements.
Exactly. All they're doing now with technology, in manipulating the weather and making it rain, is what you can do with chants and other techniques, and they both have one thing in common. They are manifesting a frequency. Everything is a frequency, and rain is a frequency. If you manifest that frequency, you manifest its holographic expression, which is rain. It's one of the reasons quite early in the book, I wrote that chapter, The Paranormal is Normal, so that people who are new to this and can see the ludicrous way that mainstream science dismisses things as not possible and fantasy, when they're actually based on physics. This is another important aspect of the program. Ignorance is a human disease, and it's a human disease because the program imposes that disease. It infects people with that disease. But beyond ignorance, there is the arrogance of ignorance. And that is where ignorance is so sure of its omnipotent knowledge that it dismisses anything that is outside of its ignorance as crazy fantasy and ludicrous. And we've got a guy, I know he's known in America as well, I don't know how widely, but we have a guy in Britain, a professor at Oxford University called Richard Dawkins. He's written various books, and he does television documentaries ridiculing and dismissing anything that's vaguely alternative in terms of health, in terms of explaining reality, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he is suffering from the arrogance of ignorance. And there was a wonderful... he wrote a book, and in it he said, reality is not malleable. And then later said that his knowledge of quantum physics was a bit foggy. Now, how you can put those two things together and call yourself intelligent is beyond my comprehension. But if the answer lies in the field to your right, and that answer would demolish your perception of everything, then you don't walk to your right, you keep moving forward. You just don't go where the answers are. Don't go into quantum physics,
right,
Richard Dawkins, or your idea that the world is not malleable will clearly be demolished. And so because of that process that I talked about earlier, where they come out at the end of this education system and go off into science and into journalism and politics, etc. The journalists, when they're talking about reality, will go to Richard Dawkins. They won't go to someone like me. They'll go to Richard Dawkins, and Richard Dawkins will say, alternative medicine, alternative this, alternative that, and alternative views of reality are all a load of rubbish, nonsense, the ravings of a lunatic. And that's what will go out to the general public. They don't make documentaries in the mainstream, explaining how things, like the chapter in the book, The Paranormal is Normal. They won't explain why it's not para at all. It's perfectly normal and perfectly explainable and very simply explainable. They will hire Richard Dawkins to go and just trash it all. This is how the system works. It protects itself because... Once I have this saying I have about defend the first domino, the system always defends the first domino because it knows that once one's gone, then the next domino falls, and before they know where they are, their whole world programmed view of everything is lying on the floor. And so if you give credibility to, for instance, psychic phenomena, you give credence or an open mind to things like acupuncture or all these alternative things, then the next domino after that is, how do they work? Mm-hmm. How is it possible? And then as the dominoes fall, the whole perception of the reality we're experiencing falls apart. and changes and transforms. Mm-hmm. As you this is why I've done that chapter in the book about paranormal is normal, because it just, by explaining how apparently impossible paranormal stuff is perfectly explainable, dead simple, people start to see that reality is so different to what they thought it was, because why they were saying or thinking it's not possible is because they were basing possibility on the version of reality that system has downloaded to them all their lives.
Exactly.
That reality is solid, that reality is limited, that there is no consciousness beyond the body, and the consciousness is somehow in the brain. Well, I mean, you know, near-death experiences will have a problem with that when they're looking down on their body and their brain, and they're still in not only awareness but expanded awareness. I mean, of course, it's like someone once said, you know, looking for consciousness in the brain is like looking for the announcer in the radio set. It's the brain is just a processor of information, but because mainstream science via the system is obsessed with the physical, which is actually an illusion, which is why Richard Dawkins is saying, oh no, reality is not malleable, because if he accepted it is, his whole view of everything is again all over the floor. So it's crucial to get across simple explanations for what we call the paranormal, the perfectly normal, because that starts dominoes falling all over the place. You know, why did this happen to me? Why did I have that strange experience? Perfectly explainable. Doddle. Easy. A few words of one syllable can explain it once the, you know, you've put the foundation of reality together. Yeah. And that is something that will transform people's view of everything. Because once they realize how the paranormal works, everything changes.
Absolutely, it's a game changer, and I will tell you, that's an excellent chapter, and as somebody who's taught metaphysics for 35 years, you put it so simply, now I can just refer people to that chapter in this book. David, I have to tell you, I'm super excited over the reaction you're going to get to this book. I know a lot of people out there are looking forward to getting their copy, and a lot of people looking forward to your world tour, and I got to give you more power to you, because I know what kind of energy that takes to pull that off. But I'm really, really glad you got to spend this time with me today. And
Well, thanks, Maria. It's unbelievable, the world tour. I mean, there's dates being added all the time. I mean, I was going to do three cities in Australia and stay on the East Coast, and now Perth has come up, and so it looks like I'm going to do Perth. I'm doing Prague, that's come up this week. You know, it's like somehow you know you're going to cope, because the schedule from mid-year is brutal, but all over America, Australia, Europe, and then on going into 2017, because as long as people keep, you know, we can keep putting these things on in different places, I'm going to keep doing them for the very reason I talked about earlier. 2016, 2017, 2018, we've really got to go for it.
Absolutely. Well, David, thanks so much for joining me, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, Maria.
Bye. David Icke, check out his work, and again, the name of the book, Phantom Self, and How to Find the Real One. So really think about, are your thoughts your own, or were you programmed to think the way you think? Is your life your own? Are your dreams your own? Or is it a program that you were taught? Anyway, thanks for listening and supporting the show. And I will be back tomorrow with the news. So until then, stay well.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.